existentialists. Welcome to my podcast, Existential Teenager. I'm Oscar Blair, and I'll be your host. Today, I'm joined by my father, Benjamin Blair.
Hello, existentialists.
Today, we're covering whether everything is predetermined or not. There are a few views on this, but today, we'll focus on these three. 1. Nothing is predetermined, and everything has been random since the Big Bang. 2. Human history is not predetermined, as we possess free will. And the third view is everything is part of a predetermined chain reaction starting with the Big Bang. Now we'll go into depth on all three views. So the first view, nothing is predetermined and everything has been random, I don't think it has very much reason to it. I think chain reactions are a thing.
I agree that, it seems pretty obvious that there are causes and effects, and if I hit a pool ball and it hits another pool ball, I know that it's, I can kind of predict exactly what's going to happen. And it's not like I'll be surprised every time or I'll ever be surprised. I mean, maybe every once in a while something random will happen, but it won't really be random. It might look like it's random, but if the ball doesn't go straight, it may be because there was a crumb on the table or something like that, but not just, well, the pool ball just randomly decided to change.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that this view doesn't have much logic to it. Because, I think it makes sense to say that most physical things aren't random. Newton's laws of physics, right?
Right. Newton's laws of physics.
Thank you, Newton.
Well, what would we do without Newton?
Now we'll cover view two. Human history is not predetermined as we possess free will. I think this one is interesting because there are big debates on whether free will is an illusion or not. So I think free will, well, let's say free will exists, and if true free will exists, then there could be branched existences.
What is branched existence?
I don't know how to explain this.
Well, go for it.
So let's say from the start of the universe, it's just been one chain, and there was only one possibility, because it's all been physical. There was no consciousness. And then consciousness appeared, and people could start making choices. And that started splitting the different things that could happen. Mm-hmm. I could choose whether I wanted to pick an apple or pick an orange. And then if I picked the apple, it'd be a different universe than if I picked the orange.
So the universe branches at that point because, okay, now you've made a decision, a legitimate decision that was not just caused by previous events. Like, going back to the view one, there's no decision for an atom, two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom getting together and deciding, well, should we make water or not? Like, it's when those atoms get together, they
will make water.
Yeah, there's no possibility that they would.
There's only one thing that could happen.
Right. So here's the context, here's the situation, here's a cause. These atoms get together. Here's an effect. Water is formed. But on this view, we're saying, well, once humans get into the mix, now humans can start to make choices. And they can say, well, I'm going to pick an apple or I'm going to pick an orange. And then things can branch off from there. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it has like an intuitive sense to it that, well, I'm deciding to do these things. I decide to put my shoes on, or I decide to
brush my teeth,
or I decide to wear this shirt instead of another shirt.
Yeah, that brings us to view three. Everything has been part of a predetermined chain reaction starting with the Big Bang. I think the argument on this one is that our thoughts and choices are really just physical things going on in our brain. So that's predetermined. But that doesn't really explain the consciousness. I don't know how humans got... I don't know where consciousness appeared.
Yeah, and I would say it... I mean, I can see... For a lot of things, I can see how it gets explained with chemical reactions or electrical reactions. So, for example, whether I... When I wake up, or, of course, anything... Once I eat an apple, there's no conscious decision what happens with the apple from then. That's just a matter of chemistry, physical laws, that kind of thing. And I guess going back to the... If we take that view seriously that, well, it's all just physical reactions, I can look at it as, well, look, everything your mind does is traceable back to what's happening in your brain. And so what feels like a decision ultimately can be traced back to chemical reactions, signals, these kinds of things. But it sure seems complicated to go from that to say, you know, when Dostoevsky wrote The Brothers Karamazov, that every single word was predetermined and that it was, you know, an inevitable unfolding of a complete novel. That seems really hard to make the case that doing something like that was just a response to physical laws.
I disagree. I think that I understand your view, but I think that emotions and thoughts and all our choices, they're really just different cells in our brain sending a yes or no signal. And if there's more yeses, then I will do the action. If there's more no's, then I won't do it. And if it's a tie, then I won't do it. So for each word,
mm-hmm.
he was like, I could write this word. And then there, for each word that was written, more yes signals got sent than no signals.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that view, and I don't know how strongly I want to hold to. No, there is some free will and non-determined writing that happened. And though I also understand and I embrace the idea of if you understand everything that's happening, if you understand the full context, which is much bigger than any of us can understand, but the more you understand, the bigger your lens to view things, the more likely I think it could be that, yeah, these are physical laws happening. I don't know that I would go from that, these are physical laws happening, to what we're saying in the third view, that is, everything is part of a predetermined chain reaction, starting with the Big Bang. I feel like, so you were talking about, okay, he can go with every word, there's a yes or a no, and then it sounds like you're saying, or this third view is saying, so that whole book was predetermined. And all of history, everything, it was all predetermined. It was unavoidable, but for it to happen like this. And I wouldn't want to go that far. I would want to say, no, we can influence history. We can change. There are probabilities, there are likelihoods, and there are, but it's not, I wouldn't want to say inevitable. We can have an influence. Mm-hmm. We can change a course. We can change a trajectory. And I wouldn't say, I think it's, it doesn't make sense to call that, to say, well, it's all just predetermined and there's no changing any trajectories. There's no influencing, history or the path of history.
Yeah. I don't really know which view is better between view 2 and 3. I disagree with view 1, I guess.
I disagree with view 1. I think it's hard to to hold really hard to view one, and view one is just that nothing is predetermined and everything has been random since the Big Bang. I feel like somewhere between two and three, I feel like there is a lot of, I think the more we understand about physical laws, the more we can know with a lot of certainty what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But then I also want to say there is some measure of free will, or we are able to influence outcomes. We're able to change course.
Yeah. I mean, it's not fun to think that Trump being elected was inevitable.
Right. Or to think that, either that, well, the climate is just going to die and there's nothing we can do about it. And say, well, actually, no, there are things we can do about it. And we should take responsibility for the things we can do. And I think there's something powerful about saying, no, we're going to determine our future, or we're going to influence our future. We're going to work toward the best future we can.
Yeah. I have a few fun thoughts to think about. So I
can't wait.
If you roll a dice, since that's all a physical thing, you can determine what number the dice is going to land on before you roll it. I mean, not very fast, it'd take a while, but that, when you roll a dice, that's predetermined.
Yeah, and when you roll a dice, you can, maybe that's a helpful illustration that I may not know what number the dice is going to land on at any given time, but I can predict really well over the course of hundreds of rolls, the average of each different number.
Yeah, we have many ways of predicting things, but not very many ways of predicting things in the short term very accurately.
Right, but if we knew more and we had more information, then we could do more, even in the short term.
Here's another thought. There's time travel. If we somehow invented time travel and went back and killed Hitler, does that mean the actions of Hitler were never enough? Well, let's say view three is correct and we invented time travel and someone went back and killed Hitler and it changed the course of history. Does that mean that the actions of Hitler weren't inevitable?
Well, I guess you started saying, look, we're assuming that...
Yeah, we're that assuming the third view one three is right. Correct for this thought.
So everything is part of a predetermined chain reaction starting with the Big Bang. So, I mean, that kind of feels like if we're assuming that, then that gives us our answer.
Yeah, I guess that means that time travel was going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. But what if it's view two?
Yeah, view two is where
I guess it also gives us an answer.
And I guess where I kind of land is, again, I said this before, somewhere between view two and view three. Like,
yeah.
I think it's, we know enough about physics to know that at least it's not helpful to imagine that everything is random. It's not very productive to go that route.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a little defeatist to say we can't really influence outcomes and we can't change the course of events. And maybe it's true that we can't. But I feel like it's more helpful. It makes for better humans.
Yeah, if we all
act like we do.
Yeah,
like
if we all agree on view two, and that means we all have some influence. I think even if view three was correct, but if view three was correct and everyone followed view two, humans would be better. But if view three was correct and everyone followed view three, then people would just, like, not do anything and think, oh, this was destined to happen.
Right. Yeah, I think why... Well,
I guess that kind of goes against view three, if I say that. So that's kind of funny to think about. Yeah, what were you saying?
Well, just that, again, if... And I guess we're switching to from a physical discussion about causes and events to a moral discussion about what is the best kind of life. Mm-hmm. And if we do that, then I would say, if we're talking about the best kind of life, then I would say we should assume that it's view two.
Yeah.
That we can make a better world. We're not stuck with our current situation. We can make a better situation. And there is an element of view three, though I can imagine there are some people who can argue better than I can about view three that could also say, oh, no. It's predetermined, but we still should take responsibility for our actions, and we still are, you know, all those things that I'm trying to argue for view two. I'm not saying it's that someone who holds view three can't hold those views. But just I think it makes for a better life to assume that we can affect the world for better.
I agree with that. I also land on the middle ground between view two and three.
Now, earlier you said you disagreed.
I disagreed with that one statement. I guess I was just saying that I didn't phrase it correctly. I should have said someone from view three could say that the brain sends yes and no signals.
Right. And again, just to reiterate that the more we know, the more information we have, the more it probably will look more and more like view three is how it works. And anyway, it sure seems like science has to approach the world as if view three is the appropriate view. Hmm. Would you say that?
Yeah, I think from a scientific standpoint, view three is the correct view. But from a moral standpoint, view two is the correct view.
Right, and there could be an elevated view three that we're not as familiar with that accommodates the moral questions that we're talking about into view three. And I'm open to that.
And from a loser standpoint, view one is...
From a loser standpoint, view one is the clear winner.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's assume view three is correct. I know that you are going to follow my Instagram, which is existentialteenager_, and feel free to slip into my DMs. My email is existentialteenager@gmail.com. My website is existentialteenage.wixsite.com. And feel free to contact me with questions, comments, concerns, or ideas. And remember to catch me tomorrow on the next podcast on evolution.
Bye-bye, existentialists.
Thank you. Bye.